Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
A Dear Media original podcast.
Welcome to Wine Face, where we're breaking down everything the experts know about wine in a fun, digestible, and accessible way, because wine is for enjoying and wine is for everyone. I'm your host, Helen Johannesson from Helen's Wines in beautiful Los Angeles, California. And listen, today I'm so excited. My friend Eric Wareheim is joining me on Wine Face. He is a comedian, actor, writer, director, musician, and author and winemaker, probably best known to most y'all for his role on Master of None and the comedic duo Tim and Eric, alongside, though, my favorite thing that he does, which is make thebomb.com wine with Joel Burt. Eric is the winemaker behind Las Haras, an incredible lineup of wines that we love, support, and sell at Helen's, all locations when they're not sold out. He also wrote a dope-ass best-selling cookbook called Foodheim. I mean, what can't this guy do? He's simply the best. And Eric and I go way back to the days of Animal, before John and Vinny's and Helen's, and he was always down to try dope-ass wine. Hello, Eric!
Helen!
Oh, my God! I can't believe it.
This is massive. I'm a huge fan. I've been a huge fan for many years, but especially Wine Face. I was bummed that there was a little hiatus, but we're back, right?
We're so back. We are back and better than ever. I mean, look at this team around us.
It's insane here.
Pan to team of 20 people just writing me scripts. No, I'm just kidding. Dude, I mean, I've known you for 10 years, 11 years.
Yeah.
I feel like you would cruise an animal, just be like, this is the best restaurant. I love wine.
Yeah. And you were a big part of my wine journey. I give you props in the book.
That's right. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I did get props.
Well, because, you know, everyone's wine experience starts with people helping them find the good stuff.
Oh,
you know
100%.
What I mean? And hang out with you and John and Vinny, and just what you were up to was like very different than everything else in LA or America.
Honestly, and I was so grateful when you'd walk through the door because I had so many haters. I had people being like, where's my cab? Where's my Shard?
Where's my Shiraz?
Oh my gosh. I was just talking about Shiraz. Like we're in sync. But now your wine journey is like epic. Like you're going to surpass me. I think you might know more about wine than I do.
I mean,
you definitely know more about Riesling than I do. For sure.
Deep dive in Germany. Yeah, it was, I did it. I did like a 10-day trip with Von Boden, some friends. And I'm like, for a couple of years, I've been Riesling obsessed.
You rappelled down the steeply trellised vineyards.
Yes. And our mutual friend JD from The Source Imports.
Shout out to JD.
He was pushing it. I mean, he was giving me like prune cabinets like 5 years ago. And I would just have a sip and be like, I don't understand sweet. Like, what is this? And now I'm full obsessed with everything from like super dry to Auslese and everything in between.
Can we talk about really quickly, like, to me, your wine journey is really interesting because it's similar to, I think, how the more you drink wine, the more you get into wine, yeah. you travel along a similar path of like, you want to be wacky, experimental. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden there's a day when it comes laser focused into what you like and what you want to drink.
Yeah.
Which I feel like you're at now. You're basically yes. in like, not elitist, an elite wine cult where, I mean, I have like so much FOMO of all the bottles. I'm just like, yeah. wait, what? Well,
I think I'm at the point where I've tried a lot and I've traveled the world a lot. I've met all the producers that I'm like, so like my idols, like what they're doing. And I bring a lot back to Las Haras with Joel, who knows everything already. Mm. And he has predicted my wine journey the whole time. It's unbelievable. He's like, you know, 15 years ago, I was in Italy drinking like super Tuscans and sending him messages. And he's like, cool, you're not going to like that in 6 months. Like, it's going to be way too like macerate extract. And he's right.
Yeah.
And now I'm loving like reduced like white Burgundy. And yeah. I was like, wow, I don't know about this stinky thing. And then I'm like, I need that
you like
experience.
Crave it. Yeah. You're just like, oh, yeah. I would lick the inside of the bottle, yeah. which sounds insane. But white Burgundy yeah. for life.
But it was places like the people like you and place and going to like the Jura and living in New York City and the natural wine shops popping up. Because when you drink like just basic wine, traditional wine, Shiraz, you're just like you're not having fun, and then you get into natural wine, you're like, oh my god, I'm high off of this stuff. What
it's
is
creative.
Happening
it's yeah fun. It's accepting
yeah it's like it was like a and it was also like a movement. I felt like very similar like punk rock or hardcore, what I grew up in like the music scene. I was like, these producers, you know, don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck at the rules,
yeah,
you know?
And they're giving like the fingers to the wine laws, yeah. They're like, get the hell yeah. out of our way.
Yeah.
Okay, but how do you feel now? I like this. I've gotten this question this week 3 times. Like, how do you define natural wine? And like for you on your journey and for Las Haras, I think because that wine, the wine you make with Joel, started in one place, which was great, mm-hmm. but it's gotten so much better.
Yeah.
And like, I think every winemaker over time, but talking about natural wine, punk rock movement, like how do you define the wine you drink now?
You know, the wine I drink now, some of the producers are more in like the traditional world. But in terms of like, they're making wine that have been made for hundreds of years and they respect these traditions. Like,
but it's still kind of natural wine.
It is. But,
right?
You know,
like I would define it yeah. that way.
And especially some of the Burgundy that I love, that you know I love because they order it from me all the time.
We have 2 boxes yeah. over there with your
yes.
name on it.
I know. That was the best.
Lemmy. We have to talk about Hubert Lemmy.
Have
you met
guy,
him? Drill
no.
Sergeant. Oh my God.
No.
Okay, we'll get
but
to
I've
him.
Watched all his podcasts with like Paul Wasserman mm-hmm. and we went to, Paul took us to his vineyards in Montrachet, and just what he's doing is like unconventional. He's doing this like planting the vines really close, high density planting,
mm-hmm. yep.
and everyone is moving to organic farming there. And they're realizing it just tastes better. It's better. The wine's better.
And it's going to age better
yeah.
over time.
And they're reducing their amount of sulfur. You know, yeah. like I still think sulfur is important if you're going to ship wine internationally, but
I agree.
Like Simone Bees is making 2 cuvées now. She's doing one that's no sulfur and yeah. one that is a little bit to ship internationally. I'm like, that is the way to do it if you really don't want.
Well, Claude at Chandon de Briaille, have you visited
no.
her? You literally, next time you're in Burgundy, one of my favorite, they're in Savigny-le-Bon. I think they're some of the best Burgundy. And
oh,
she
wow.
does sans souf. So sans souf, and when you say that for all y'all out there, is no sulfur,
yeah.
which means you don't add sulfur at bottling.
Mm-hmm.
But what Eric and I are saying is a little bit of sulfur is okay. Because you're shipping wine
absolutely.
Over hills, valleys, seas,
you,
and, dolphins,
yeah.
and whales.
You drink, yeah, and when you drink a lot of wine like us, you, when I drink La Octavon in Jura, it's I love her wine. I love her. And,
sure.
and her wines are beautiful. And then sometimes when you're in New York or Los Angeles, it changed because of the travel and the storage. It's just like you have to be really pristine to have that full natural wine experience. But, you know, that and that's what started with Joel and I was like a freak when I visited her winery. She was like co-fermenting things, she was blending
yeah.
things, and she was like
she's
really
wild.
Wild and that's I brought to Joel. I was like, can we do this? You know, he's like, yeah, we could try it. But we have a wine called Super Bloom, which is a full 00
delicious
wine, which means full organic farming, no sulfur anywhere, and it's awesome. But Joel is such a good winemaker, and he's very clean too. I think cleanliness is a big thing in the natural movement, which is you could be a great winemaker, but if you don't clean your barrels and equipment, you're going to have microbes. Yeah. And that's going to just give you too much of the stuff you don't want. And
too many flaws.
Yeah.
So, I'm not a fan of flaws.
Me neither.
Love natural wine.
No.
Not a fan of flaws. And a flaw just like ruins the experience. And I don't really like when people are like, I embrace the flaw. It's the art. And I'm like, no. It's just bad. It's not clean.
Yeah, exactly. And being so close to making Las Haras, you realize what you could do to, I mean, and at first we have wines with VA when you're carbonically, you know, fermenting stuff. It just happens. And you learn quickly how, with experts like Joel, how to like minimize any of those flaws.
Volatile acidity, VA, volatile acidity. Smells like nail polish. Got to give these people a little droplet.
Yes.
Beep, beep, beep. I come in. You drop the knowledge nugs and I come in. What was the first Las Haras wine you made? Or tell me about that journey.
Well, the wine that I brought you, which is our sparkling wine, was the first wine that I had from Joel. We were at a beach
just
party.
Say, we'll jump into you bring, I bring. I brought a wine too.
Yes.
We're going to taste them both. I brought the Chitri from Damour, which we can get into. But tell me about the sparkling.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about this. I'm going to open it. We're going to taste this first, the one I brought. And then we're going to taste the one you brought.
Great.
But talk to me all things Las Haras.
So, Joel was working at another winery at the time. We were at this is so LA, but we're at a beach party in Malibu. And
so much fun.
It was like so much fun. We were all vibing. Maybe we're on mushrooms. Who can remember?
I mean, a little microdose or macro doesn't hurt.
I had my sun hat on. No.
I got lost in the waves.
He brought some wine that he made in his garage, you know, and
it
was like very similar to our sparkling now made from Carignan, but it was so elegant. And I was drinking a lot of Pet Nat at that time and a lot kind of on the sweet side, a little flabby, like not as, and this had so much tension and like, it was wild. It was like champagne. It was like champagne. And we just drank it all day and no one, you know, like you just keep drinking natural wine. It just makes you feel alive.
It was just like Popeye eating spinach.
And I was like, maybe I had a couple bottles in me, but I was like, we should start a label, man. Like, let's do it.
Yes.
And he's like, who are you again? You're like a comedian. You like make fun of food and in your show, right? I was like, yeah, I do, but I also love it. Like, I'm, you know, this is when I first started hanging with you and going on my journey. So it took him a couple years. And then he sent me on trips. He was like, go to Jura, go to like
That's
Italy.
So
yeah.
Good for Joel.
He gave me like an assignment. He's like, what come back when you know something.
Yeah. That's cool.
And
he didn't want some half-assed partner. No offense. He wanted you like invested, understanding.
Yeah. But I just, and I wanted to help him because he's an artist. And, you know, I just wanted to give him like a platform to like make his stuff. We are making his style. Now our styles are like fully aligned. We're full freaks.
So you've like kind of become your own winemaker. You're like a third person avatar.
Yeah, we are.
That is Las Haras.
Yeah. At first we were making like Joel wanted
to
make
grape.
He lives up in Sonoma. So he's like, I want to make a Cabernet, but I want to make it good. You know, like more in the style that we want to drink, which is just not overly ripe and oaky and extracted and all that. And those start the 15s, our first bottling is like singing right now.
Really?
It's so
are you
nice.
Selling it?
We don't. It's like we only have a couple cases left in the library, but
you should save it and just see how it evolves.
It's so cool. And it's like, you know, that's a big part of winemaking in California is like some of the red fruit, you have to just let it age before it's even okay. You know, it's very tannic if not, you know.
Yeah. Dude,
so
that's sick.
Yeah. And then at the same time, we were making like carbonic wines that I was into, you know, like our glue, which is our blend.
Because like Joel was like kind of the OG
like
classic and you were like Pet Nat Posse party.
I was.
Let's get
I
freaky
still am.
Deaky. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you can be a lot of everything, I think, in the wine world. People love to put you in a little box, I feel like.
No, we drink all types of things and different wines are for different moments. Like at that moment, I was like, love going to the ocean and swimming and like being in LA, it's like a different vibe. You want lighter wines. You want it's like really fun. And also for food, I was such a food nerd, as you know, like going around, I needed lighter wines for a lot of Asian foods. You know, like you don't want to just be exhausted by big reds. So we made a bunch of stuff like our Super Bloom and the glue. And we have a Nouveau too that's lighter, but very clean natural style.
I love your Nouveau. It's so good.
Yeah.
Cheers to you. I'm in awe. Congrats on your global domination. Can we talk about the wine in your trunk right now?
Yes.
Eric has wine in his car right now.
I do.
We're in Eric's car. No, in your AC is remotely on.
Yes, it's on.
What is happening on your wine journey? Well, it is epic.
Yeah.
Well, my wine director, Jack, was like, I just don't like, where is he getting all these wines? They're insane. Like, what is happening? And I was like, yo, you got to just like go deep.
Yeah.
You're deep.
It's still, I'm still in that like discovery zone where I'm like, oh my God, this, like, I can't believe, you know, some producers are like, you can't get it other than that. My Germany trip, my Burgundy trip, I was drinking things that are just not available here. That was so cool. So I bring a couple back. And to me, wine is like just sharing. Like it's like during the pandemic, a couple of my friends that we love to just get together and cook. And like, we got really good at it. And tonight we're doing, what we call it, a bolo night. And Alex Goose, one of my good buddies, has been simmering his bolognese since yesterday.
Oh, and we're kind of like sensual.
Yeah. We're kind of like leaning Italian, like I'm kind of getting into Barolos, you know, and like, I've always been into like the northern Italian stuff. I think
Alto
I bought Piemonte. A lot from you. Yeah.
Like, the Alto Adige.
Those wines are so cool. But now I'm just trying to, I'm experimenting with the classics. Like I have a Magnum of Rinaldi 2013.
Casual.
Yeah. I mean, these are like celebration wines that you buy and you share with your friends, you
know? Of course.
But if everyone does that, you get to try like insane stuff.
So many different wines. And if you're all like committed to the cause.
Yeah.
I love it. I love watching your journey and your story and just like seeing like, okay, we're going to try these crazy wines paired with this amazing Chinese restaurant or like these insane wines at home.
I mean, it's become an obsession. Like when I go to, I went to Bistro Na the other day, which is like an amazing Sichuan place.
It's really, so good? Oh my God. What'd you bring to drink?
I brought...
It's that numbing spice.
Yeah. I brought like a Falkenstein cabinet, a 2019.
Ooh.
Which is really cool to drink like an off dry.
Yeah. Did it work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of this, you know, spice... And it's another thing, like super spice will kind of numb your palate a little bit for maybe some more of the fine wines, you know, like...
Yeah. Well, because the classic spice, quote unquote, spicy pairing is sweet wine.
Yeah.
Half sweet. Demi-sec. Yes.
Yeah.
Off dry. A little bit of extra sugar. Not added, but naturally.
Yeah. It's cool. Like that combination to me, I'm sweating and high and what's happening on your palate is so fun. It's really like magical pop rocks. Like, it's so cool. So
I love that.
Brought like that and another dry wine, which I can't remember. Another Riesling.
Dude,
but
Bistro Nah.
Yeah. LA is really, I complain about LA a lot, but it is insane what we could do. And especially with wine, a lot of people are open to you bringing bottles if they don't have, you
100%.
Know.
Though corkage fees have gotten crazy.
Yeah,
like $75 high. At some spots.
But we roll around with like little cases, like
at
Longo
guy.
Seafood.
You're literally that guy now.
I posted about it the other day because I went with a bunch of wine guys, some importers, some somms. And like, if you look around our table, it's just boxes of wine and boxes of glassware, you know, like.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. But
okay.
You know, if you drink a special wine.
I like that.
There's a restaurant, which I will not name
on
this in LA that just opened that I love.
Okay.
But they have no stems. They just had these like big, thick. And I'm like, dude.
Just get a glass with a stem.
Yeah.
And so are you going to bring your own glasses there?
Yes. I'm going to like ask the chef. It's okay. I always like try to be polite and be like, is it okay? I don't want to like mess your world up.
You want to catch your vibe.
Yeah. But sometimes
you can't drink fine wine out of a glass without a stem.
Dude. Because
it'll heat the wine up.
It's insane. And they have a reserve list.
You
got
to be able to move it. That's weird to have a reserve list.
Yeah.
But not offer stems.
It was crazy.
What do you think the most pivotal bottle of your life so far is?
Wow.
I mean, just these questions aren't going to get easier.
I would say like I had a Darb and Ribot. Like Saint Joseph in Paris, maybe 15 years ago,
and that
from
this is Northern Rhone.
Yeah,
for those y'all, Syrah.
Yeah, talking about Shiraz. I didn't have a Syrah that was like I could drink, but this bottle, you just walk around, and Paris is the best. You just walk around the canal, and we're drinking it out of the bottle, and we're like, like I said before, it's this elevated feeling of like I'm high. I can go all night with this wine, and that was like what got me into wine, pretty much.
The Syrah is just singing out of those bottles.
Yeah,
that's a real natural wine too.
Yeah, and also the price point, like when you're in France, it was like $20 or something. It's
out of
like,
control.
What? Yeah.
What's the most epic food and wine pairing you've had? Like, is it the meals like bolo night, or is it restaurant based?
I would say I just did a trip to Portland with these same guys that I'm having dinner with. We call ourselves the Four Horsehair Men.
Horsehair.
Yeah. One of the guys, people are going to hate me. One of the guys got a horsehair mattress.
Shut up. Like the one with the checks?
Yeah. It's like Drake has one.
That mattress sucks. Okay. Oh my God. I'm going to put him on blast. I had that mattress. What is it called? It's over on Beverly, right?
Hastings. Yeah.
Hastings. I mean, no offense to your friend, but.
No, I love him. I no comment on the bed quality, but.
He really needs to rotate that shit or he's going to have like deep grooves.
Yeah. It feels like there's going to be animals nesting in there too.
It feels barnyardy. Is but that we how it came out, the horsehair?
Yeah, we were testing out the horsehair. We were drinking wine together. It was just a moment of four guys on a horsehair bed. And we're like, we need to like, this is crazy. So we called ourselves the Four Horsehair Men, similar to like James's restaurant, Four Horsemen, which Brooklyn. I love too.
Oh, so but special.
We all went up to Portland and shot this video of like my 24 hours in Portland. But we also brought wine and the whole like, Thai scene up there and the Indonesian scene was mind-blowing.
Really?
Mind-blowing. Yeah. Like Thai fried chicken. The Indonesian place, Gado Gado, was like, that was a moment. We brought some Keller right from my trip from Germany and paired that with, it wasn't too spicy. It was like, you could still appreciate
Keller
the wine.
Keller Riesling is bomb.
So we did like some GG dry Keller, some off-dry stuff. And that pairing is that high I'm talking about, which is like, I would say that of late.
Chicken.
Yeah.
I love it. Should we try this wine?
Yeah.
Not to segue out, but the Four Horsehair Men on a horsehair mattress. Cheers.
Yes.
I don't want to hate on your friend or Hastings.
No, I can't. I'm Hastings, so
sponsor
excited
of the
for him
podcast.
To hear this.
I'll try it again. Well, you know what's crazy is they have the like, not to go off on a mattress for one sec. It's kind of like wine. They got like their quote unquote entry level.
Yeah.
That's like 12K.
Village.
Yeah, it's the Village.
That's an expensive Village.
Like, yeah, it's a Village. It's like, oh, it's just what they're drinking out of jugs in the Village. And then they have like $100,000. It's like 30 layers of woven horsehair.
Yeah.
All right. So this is Shardy. Shardy wanna be a thug.
This is everything.
We're
right
drinking
here.
Chardonnay made by one of the loveliest couples in winemaking, the Damours, Alice and Olivier. And this is made near their house. It's not Chablis kind of technically. It's Chitriafort, I think, is like the name of where it is. Straight outside Chablis. Anyway, Chardonnay. This is really tasty.
This is amazing.
For 2020, too. I mean, 2019 Burgundy is just off the chain.
Yeah.
It's out of control. It's literally out of control.
Yeah. This is beautiful. We had not this cuvee, but we had some more at my wedding. Like, that was like our...
Really?
Our, like, white. Yeah. Joel turned me on to these guys. In my journey, because I was like, you like Ravino? He's like, yeah, but I can't afford it. So we drink this. And this has so much more personality.
Honestly, I visited Ravino and it felt, Ravino's like really famous winemaker in Chablis. I visited them and it felt like I was in a hospital. It was weird. I had a really weird experience.
I heard the vineyards are pretty hard to look at too, because it's pretty nuclear.
It's pretty nuke. I mean,
nuked.
We love Ravi.
Yeah.
Ravi for life.
Yeah. This is gorgeous.
It's so pretty. So you cook a lot at home.
Yeah.
You and your wife cook.
Yeah.
Maddie, shout out.
What's up, Maddie?
Like, who's the real chef at home?
She is. Is
she like...
She grew up in a pizza restaurant. And her dad's like a classically trained chef. And so she has all the skills. And she worked on my book. I hired her as like a consultant.
Nice.
And she, pretty much like...
Keep it all in.
Yeah,
in
every recipe. I was like... She was like, yeah, but you could do it this way. And it like cuts half the time, you know, like I was like, oh, cool. So she taught me a lot.
Overcomplicate this.
But it's good. Like, that's why I think the book is good. Because what's the fastest, best way to get to chicken parm?
Or, dude, you know, food line is so amazing. Cheers to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fastest way to a chicken parm is the fastest way to many people's hearts.
Yeah.
What is like, you since you're eating out, take wine out of it.
Yeah.
And take, I know Portland, Indonesian, like international best, like, mind-blowing food. Like in Germany, was it like, yo, this saucy crazy? Or
well, we went to an old school, like all I like is village food. Like my mom's from a small village in Germany, and she's German.
She's German. Yeah. Do you speak German?
Yeah, I speak ein bisschen Deutsch.
What is it? Tschüss.
Yeah, tschüss.
Tschüss. All I know is ich bin ein Bier. No,
you want a beer? Yeah. No, I did a little of that. It was funny on this. I was trying to impress some of these like producers and I would speak a little German and sometimes they'd look at me like, mm-hmm. Like they were not impressed.
They're like, cool.
I mean, most German people are have no sense of humor.
Did you grow up speaking German?
Yeah. But oh. I'm not fluent. My mom is, she wanted me to, but I was a shitty American kid and I was really tall. So all I wanted to do is be normal. Like my whole childhood, you know, like,
yeah.
And now I wish I learned it so I could speak it, but
yeah,
I can get order stuff and get in a taxi, you know, like things like that. And
you don't get lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. This wine is really beautiful. Okay. So you went village, like best village food in Germany.
Yeah. We found a place in the Mosel. I can't remember the name of it. It's on my Instagram, but it was like the one of the best schnitzels I've ever had. And they fry it in like half clarified butter.
That's the way to do it.
And then a sauerbraten.
Oh my God.
It was like and then everything else, the Germans love sweetness. So I was kind of like turned off by it. Like
it's kind of wild,
yeah,
right?
And even their salad dressings, there's too much honey. I'm like, whoa, there's nothing refreshing. Like you need a little acid for
they don't have that schnitties. Acid. yeah, exactly. You gotta cut that shit.
But then we went to Frankfurt. We flew out of Frankfurt, and that city was like fully international. It was like so fun. We had Indian food and like
Germany.
Kebabs. It was
Oh my God.
And we also, they have this rule, this is kind of nerdy, but they can't sell certain wines for more than they have limits on their markup. So we were going to restaurants and they had like DRC for the cheapest prices I've ever seen.
In Frankfurt?
Yes.
All right, everyone book your flights because the most fancy Burgundy in the world is on sale in Frankfurt.
I think it's already gone because we were there with some people that could purchase it and we bought almost all of it. Like it was crazy.
We were there with the purchase.
Yeah.
Where's your next trip for wine?
Well,
and do you want to do more of your like four hairy horsemen trips?
Yeah.
Like, do you like being part of a unit? Like,
yes.
I go like stag or like with one other person, or I haven't traveled that much recently, but like, is it like, what is that feeling? Like, what's that energy you're getting from that camaraderie?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's like, I've always been in partnerships like with Aziz or Tim Heidecker. Like, I just love it because I love sharing. Like, I want to do a solo trip and see how I could do it. But
yeah,
I'm the kind of, I like need to be like, can you believe this wine?
Yeah.
Like, I need the someone else to be like, yes.
You're like, meet in the lobby at 8:30 a.m.
Yeah. Like, my bachelor party was not a bachelor party. I took a couple friends and a couple cases of wine and we went to Atlanta. We went to Burns.
Cool.
Which is a great wine place. We did go to T-Pain's strip club, Onyx, in
How
Atlanta.
Was that?
But it was the best.
Really?
I mean, yeah, they didn't let us bring wine in. I remember like every place we went.
Or your wine glasses to T-Pain.
No, like, they didn't let us.
Imagine if you rolled up with a bag and the glasses to T-Pain's.
But you don't, I mean, some places, some people want to do wine and everything. When you're at Onyx or Magic City, you just enjoy the insanity.
Like, I'll have a vodka soda. I've never been to a strip club, but
well, if
I'll
you pick one, it should be in Atlanta because it's not a creepy dark vibe. It's like really
positive. Celebrating women.
Yeah,
earning money however they want.
All genders go, men, male, female, and it's more. It's also about the hip hop community. Like when we went, my friend who's a music producer knew like half the people there who are also music producers and. That's where you test out your tracks. It's so really cool.
Dude, I love that.
Yeah.
It's the preview. Should we open the wine you brought?
Let's do it.
I mean, do you think it's going to top the wine we're drinking? I'm just kidding. No. Come on. You made it, though.
But this is what we're inspired. I mean, what we do at Las Haras now is like, we're like, how do we get the taste that's happening in Chablis or Burgundy? And you can't really with our vineyards. They're so different, but they're good inspiration. You know, it's especially winemaking. Like this year, all of our white wines, Joel found like the press programs that Lafon uses to really gently extract the juice from Chardonnay, you know? So like it's kind of cool, the wine community, like they share some stuff and.
That's crazy. What do you think about California winemakers who are bringing over cuttings from areas in Europe and planting them? Because that's become more
Yeah, I think it's cool because we helped France out.
This smells amazing. Okay, so the label is Shazadelic. It literally reminds me of my British friend Shaz from high school. Would be like, hey girl, we got 2 tabs of acid and ketamine. And I'd be like, whoa girl.
Yeah.
I'm 16.
This trip. Yeah, we try to pair the labels.
So good.
It's my one of my best friends.
2019 sparkling wine. What's your best friend?
It's one of my best friends, Jen Stark.
Oh, amazing artist.
All the labels are like my besties that are visual artists and we try to match like their expression to this wine, and this wine to me is like really bright and like celebratory and beautiful, and
it smells amazing.
Yeah,
So is this one varietal?
Yeah,
or?
This is just Carignan.
This is 100% Carignon.
From the beginning.
No one's making serious sparkling wine out of Carignan.
No.
It's unheard of.
No, no one is.
You're breaking boundaries.
It's cool.
So it's like almost a sparkling rosé.
Yes.
But you would call it a Blanc de Noir?
Yeah.
Blanc de Noir would be like kind of like a red wine grape made into sparkling wine, but you wouldn't classify it as a rosé necessarily?
Yeah, we don't. We just, it has, I mean, a lot of it is, I mean, we age it for a year before we release it. So the 19 is like in a good place.
I feel like I'm in Malibu.
Yeah.
Wait, am I in Malibu at the beach party?
But we want to keep, we want to hold it for a couple of years to really on the lease and develop a lot of character. But like our last vintage of this right now is so, it's so beautiful. It's a little bit more dimension.
I'm
but
really impressed.
Nice.
This wine is really, really good. It's actually like taking the chitry.
Yeah. I feel like you haven't had this one before, right?
I haven't had it. No.
We don't, it's like, we don't,
it's really
expensive.
Special.
It's like $42. So we don't, it's not at a lot of shops, but.
I'm going to definitely put a little sparkling wine saver on it and drink it later.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, how do you like it?
Oh.
It's beautiful. I mean, we, at home.
What would you pair with this? Like, where would you drink this? Like, hot tub time machine? What are we thinking? Cooking dinner? Like, what do you drink when you cook?
I think this, because this is so pretty and refined and beautiful, I would drink it as like celebratory moments, you know, like
love that.
Or at the beginning of like a beautiful meal with a little fromage or caviar. But then you could also bring it to the beach and pop it and slam, you know, it's not really a slammer, but it's like keep it super. In my book, I just talk about keeping things cold. It's like
your temp sense.
You need it. When it gets, it's a different experience once it gets too warm, but.
I would call this like, it's like a steady sipper.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to keep, like, there's a steady rhythm of my arm. It's a, and I'm like, whoa, I got to like not drink all this because I'm driving. But
I think
it's
also
so good.
Pretty high acid that keeps you like salivating.
I can't believe it's Carignan. It's literally blowing my wine. It's blowing my wine. Can I ask you two more food questions?
Give it to me.
Is there a recipe you can't quite master?
Yes.
What is
I'm obsessed with Korean barbecue.
Same.
Oh my God.
Parks for life.
Yeah. Parks. And I also like Sootville Jeep for like the charcoal
very
vibe.
Very fabulous. You just need to wear clothes.
Yeah.
You can just take off right away.
But that, like the marinating, I haven't quite mastered the marinating yet, but I'll get there.
Yeah.
and the
bulgogi.
And the banchan, I just love certain flavors of the banchan. I'm trying to like get there and I'm working on it. But it's good. It's like, Some recipes you try
towards.
And you're like, oh, I nailed this. And other times, like I made chicken cacciatore the other night, Chris Bianco's recipe, and it was like banging.
Oh.
But I make Italian American stuff every day.
How often do you ad lib versus follow a recipe?
I was a major recipe guy. And then I met Maddie, who doesn't do recipes.
I don't do recipes
I think you have to have a little bit of, it's like wine. Like you have to have a little bit of knowledge of like, everything, and then you can bang it out. Like,
sure.
And now I love just making pastas with whatever I got. I'm one of those people like, you got in the pantry.
Oh, you should do like TikToks on that.
When I first
heard kitchen sink,
it looks so easy. Like, you just open your pantry and you make good food.
I'm like, and all
you
got to do is add an anchovy and you're done. It's all set. What is like, I can't quite master. I have like a holy grail recipe I haven't attempted yet, but like, I don't know why, because I think to do it right, mine is crab spaghetti, but like legit, where you really have to like get really specific crabs and you gotta make a stock, like the whole thing. Have you been to Polisi Social Club in Philly?
Theirs is so good.
Like I'm talking like, how do I make, I guess I could do it from their cookbook, but I'm just scared to even attempt. That's one of mine.
I think it's like crab quality, and then their sauce is so good. I think they put a little chili in there, like ramp it up. Their Caesar salad recipe is insane.
Literally, they're geniuses.
But
you have one? Yeah.
My recipe would be, my bucket list or holy grail would be, I was born in Baltimore, so I grew up with like crab boils.
Oh.
Blue crabs. And I've done that with gnarling stuff. Like I bought crawfish. But I haven't done like the blue crab seems a little more intimidating, but that's what I want to do.
So we're both crabby grabs.
Yes.
Crabby.
Yeah, we both have crab.
I know.
Well, crab is intimidating. It's just like we did what's not the rock crabs?
Spider?
No, it's like a rock there's lobster. One on the, I can't remember what it's called.
Yo,
but.
I'm crab over lobster every day of the week.
Oh my, of course.
Like crabs. Anyway, it sounds crazy what we're talking about. I'm gonna make a shirt.
I thought this was a wine show.
Crabs, I know.
wine
Eric,
and
crap. Oh my God, I could talk to you forever.
I know.
You're literally the best human.
You're the best.
Oh, I wish I was at your bolo night.
I'll send you JPEGs.
Yes, just live text me the whole night what you're drinking. I'll just be like, what the fuck? Okay, also, maybe one night we can cook dinner together.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool.
I'm down.
I love that.
It's been a while.
Before we wrap up, I like to put my guests through a right now rapid fire.
Whatever
comes to mind. No stress. Okay.
Oh, I'm nervous, but I can do it.
Just take a deep breath. Here we go. White or red?
White.
Light or full?
Light.
Orange or rosé?
Rosé.
Fill in the blank. Fried chicken plus?
Riesling.
Truffles or caviar?
Truffles.
Current drink order?
My current drink order is definitely dry gin martini.
Oh my God, same.
Yeah. I mean,
twist or olive?
Depends, but like, steakhouse blue cheese olives, yeah, like sure. Twist if I'm feeling really like fancy.
What's your favorite gin? Mine's Sipsmith right now.
Oh, it's good. I actually love that German gin, Monkey.
Oh, Monkey or 12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
No, that's the movie.
Monkey 47 or something.
Yeah.
Because it's from the Black Forest where my mom grew up. It's really close to where I grew up to, where I'm from. So I like, that's great. But also California is doing like such good stuff too.
There's some, and Vermont.
Yeah.
Great gin everywhere.
It's great. I asked Joel to do some gin and he's like, we're just working on the wine right now. Yeah. Dude, like, calm down. Like we're like, winemakers.
I'm sending you to some distilleries.
Yeah.
In like, London.
We can do it.
Yeah.
Because when you're up there in Mendocino, you smell all these like sage
the
and like
the aromatics.
It's insane.
You know, Etna should make gin because they have some of the most bomb. Mount Etna in Sicily, the juniper there is literally off the chain. I was like, it's freakishly goddish. It's crazy. Eric. Friend for life.
Ellen.
Thank you for coming. Wine God.
This is awesome.
Wine Master.
You awesome. Got us. Thank you. This is awesome. I'm a big fan. It's an honor to be here.
Honor to have you. Cheers.